morning.
Good morning.
Nice group here today. I know you're all here for the big reveal. It's pretty exciting, right? We'll get there. So Lent begins in the wilderness with hunger, with temptation, probably some fear and loneliness. We try to soften Lent to make it easier to integrate into our lives. We take something on or give something up, something small yet meaningful, seeking a spiritual reset of some sort. We turn it into devotionals and resolutions and small acts of discipline, something we can commit to without actually changing us. Those practices matter, but they're not the destination. They're simply a doorway. And when we step through that doorway, we discover that Lent is more raw than we expected, because Lent begins in the wilderness. Jesus, alone in the wilderness, famished, being tempted by the devil, right? Lent is a season when everything is stripped away. I mean, look around you, right? We've got crockery instead of gold, and we've got empty walls where banners were, and what's missing up there? Flowers, right? No distractions. This is a season when we strip down to the fundamentals, and we're invited to open ourselves to God. Maybe we're able to admit that we spend most of our year, those things we spend most of our year trying to avoid. We are not limitless. We are not invincible. We can't always save ourselves. And we can't always outrun our own emptiness. When everything unnecessary falls away, we're left with a question. What really matters? What makes a good life? What makes a life whole? What makes a life holy? And to answer that, we begin by remembering who we are. We are not made of stone. We are clay, formed from the dust of the earth, right? From dust we come, to dust we shall return. Paul writes to the Corinthians that we read this morning, "We have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us." And Isaiah says, "O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." We are clay, lovingly formed and held by God, strong enough to carry what matters and fragile enough to break. And life has a way of testing just how fragile we are, doesn't it? There are moments in life when we are thrust into the wilderness without preparation or willingness, moments that divide our lives into before and after. Illness can do that. A diagnosis that refocuses your life on calls on courage you're not sure you have. I learned that firsthand this year, didn't I? My cancer diagnosis stripped away more than I could have imagined, and it brought me face to face with what is real and what truly matters. It felt, and I've said this before, and it's the only way I know how to describe it, and I don't honestly even know what it means, I felt like something cracked open inside of me. Grief can do that. A loss that settles so deep in your body, you're not sure you will ever breathe the same way again. And you begin to wonder if you will ever feel whole. Addiction can do that. Sometimes a slow unraveling of something you thought you could control. Other times a rapid spiral into darkness. Sometimes it's just a Tuesday afternoon and you feel empty for no clear reason. There are moments when life brings us to our knees in the wilderness, close to the ground from which we were made. And when you're on your knees in the wilderness, all the illusions fall away. You discover very quickly what you are. Clay. Not terribly glamorous, is it? We are clay, vulnerable, dependent, human. And it is there on the ground from which we were formed that we are tempted to buck up and forget who we are and whose we are. The wilderness doesn't just test our strength, it tests our identity. Matthew tells us that Jesus had just been baptized. He had just heard the voice from heaven, right? This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. I love that line. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Beloved, named, claimed, held. And then immediately, Jesus is led by the Spirit out to the wilderness, right? Not because God is punishing him, not because he did anything wrong, but because it's what it means to be human. Sooner or later, we all end up on our knees in the wilderness, places of uncertainty and hunger and fear. And it's there that the tempter comes. And the first words out of the devil's mouth are intended to plant doubt. And he repeats them with each new temptation. If you are the Son of God, if, that if is the wilderness question. It is a question designed to find the cracks in our resolve. It creates doubt and makes us wonder, am I really held? Am I really loved? Or am I really just on my own? The devil offered Jesus ways to save himself, to turn stones into bread, to demand a spectacular rescue, to take absolute control of everything. But beneath those specific offers was a deeper temptation, the temptation to become invincible, to stop being clay, to live as though we are self-sufficient, unhurtable, untouchable, that we are made of stone. And it is the ancient lie that if we harden ourselves enough, we won't have to be vulnerable anymore. We will not have to depend on anyone. And we know how seductive that is, don't we? Each temptation invited Jesus to live as though he were alone, self-protecting, self-justifying, self-glorifying. But Jesus refuses to become stone. He refuses to live as if he's on his own. Instead, he stays connected and grounded. He lives as if belovedness is true. Imagine that. He trusts in God. And we know how hard that can be because sometimes we do close ourselves off. Sometimes we live as if we are alone and we think it makes us safer. But when we go to that guarded place, we disconnect from God. That disconnection, that turning away from love, is how I would define sin. It's not a word I use a lot, but it is Lent, so I have to at least throw it out there one time. But that disconnection is sin. Disconnection distorts us. It convinces us we're separate when we're not. And when we begin to believe that lie, we don't just drift spiritually. We lose our tenderness for one another. We forget that we belong to each other. And that's where the story could end, but it doesn't. Jesus knew what Paul eventually learned. We have this treasure in clay jars, not stone ones. And earlier in the poem we read, we heard it said another way. Inside this clay jug are canyons and pine mountains, all seven oceans, hundreds of millions of stars, the Holy One who made them inside. Not because the jar is impressive, but because the treasure is. That's what Paul is trying to tell us. The jar looks ordinary, fragile, breakable, and yet it carries infinity. We are also fragile and vulnerable. We can be hurt, but we are also held and loved. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, struck down, but not destroyed. If you've ever looked back on your life and thought, I should have been broken. I should have been crushed, not because I was weak, but because life was so heavy, and yet you're still here, then you already know what Paul means. Not because you are strong, but because God is faithful. And the cracks that life has made have become the very places where God's light shines through. That's the mystery of faith. And that's why Lent begins here in the wilderness. Lent isn't a season for spiritual self-improvement for its own sake. It's a season for remembering what actually makes a life beautiful and whole and holy, what the good life really is. The good life is not invincibility. It is not control. It is not finally becoming self-sufficient. The good life begins in connection, in knowing we belong to God and to one another and to the earth from which we were made. That kind of rootedness doesn't make life smaller. It makes it possible. It makes anything possible. Because when we're no longer spending all of our energy trying to be stone, we are free to be clay. Free to create, free to risk love, free to build something beautiful, free to dream. The good life is not a life without cracks. It is a life sturdy enough in love that we can dare to shape it. And Lent is the season when we learn how to guard that life, when we pay attention to what pulls us away from that deep connection, from ourselves, from one another, from God, what stories shrink us, what lies tell us we are alone, what whispers cause us to live as if we're not beloved. Because we, if we're honest, we all know those voices, right? They say, you're not enough. You should be afraid. You should be stronger. You should have figured it out by now. You should prove your worth. You should hide your need. You shouldn't take up so much space. Those voices are not God's voice. They are the voices of disconnection from God. And Lent is the season when we learn, or we can learn, we want to learn to recognize them so we can come back to the truth. The truth is a voice Jesus heard at the waters of baptism. This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Beloved, named, claimed, and held. We spend so much of our lives trying not to be breakable, trying to be stone, trying to be self-sufficient, trying to be uncrackable, trying to hold ourselves together no matter what. But that is not how God made us. And this Lent, we will practice remembering who we are, clay jars that carry the light of God. We have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not belong to us. This Lent, we are practicing being clay. Open, vulnerable, capable of carrying what is sacred. We are learning how to say open so we can stay connected. Learning how to carry what is precious. Learning how to trust that even in our breakable bodies, even in our wilderness places, we are still beloved. We are always enough, and we are never alone. We heard earlier that inside this clay jug are canyons and oceans and stars. That's what Paul's trying to say. I invite you to come up here with me, Brian. I thought Travis would be back by now, but I don't see him.
He's playing with the kids.
So, need help?
Yeah, I can get it. You ready?
It's just a clay jar. But what it carries is holy. It comes from the earth. It can be shaped by hands to carry something precious. It can hold life-giving water. It can carry oil. It can carry light. It can carry treasure. and yet it is fragile. It can chip, it can crack, it can break. It's not made of stone. It hardens, but it doesn't ever become stone. It never stops being earth shaped by hands. You will see that we have all these little, beautiful little clay jars, right? All of these little clay jars were made lovingly by, no, the whole staff and the clergy got together. We had a blast.
Oh, yeah.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
And they're all different. And we try to say, did you make that one? I have no idea. They're all different. And we would ask you, and the pot, the clay jar was lovingly made by Becky Strout. Thank you, Becky. And so what we would ask you is pick up a little clay jar, a little token to remember. And when you come in, through this will be here. This will be here, right here, throughout Lent. And we ask you to bring in a token. And I'm going to read this because you're going to get this in your email. You say, she left out the blobbity blah. So we invite you over the weeks of Lent to bring in symbols of the good life. Right? A whole and holy life, and place them in this jar. A family photo, a favorite rock, a tuft of pet's hair, a baby shoe, a favorite song lyric, a poem, a prayer, a dream that you're afraid to say out loud. And we trust that in God's time, what we place here will blossom into something we can't even imagine yet. We are remembering who we are. Whose we are. We are beloved, named, claimed, held. Amen.
Amen.
So as you come up to communion or go back from communion, grab a pot. Keep it in your pocket to remember this Lenten season.
Amen.
Amen again.